You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily NFL fantasy podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. I'm not doing this. I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. It's finally here, the week that training camps open here for the 2021 NFL regular season. So we'll soon have preseason games this year, something we didn't have during the height of the pandemic last summer. So we'll have some action here to see these teams beyond their practices with their own teams, and sometimes crossing over for those joint practices. But that exciting time where football action meets conjecture and the punditry is here around the league. And here on Locked On Fantasy Football, that means we go 5 weekdays a week for you going forward here throughout the season. So good stuff. We'll bring you the latest and most important information you need to know. Today we'll wrap up our loose training camp preview here. We've been looking at different aspects of camp. We looked at position battles, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. We started looking at our systems checks for the AFC teams that changed offensive coordinators. We'll do that today with the NFC. So a little leftover from last week, and then we'll go full into what is happening at camp around the league, get you updated on the latest news there as we go along. If there's any major injuries, we'll have pop-up analysis of that for you as well. So a lot of in-depth good stuff coming up as we lead you into having the ultimate real fantasy draft for your leagues here in 2021. Before we dive into the NFC offensive changes here for the season, NFL analyst Brian Peacock and former NFL scout Matt Williamson host Locked On's Peacock and Williamson every Monday through Friday. Brian and Matt give you the national perspective all around the NFL, covering all the latest news and insight in every game, team, and move around the league. Get your picks, previews, and much more every weekday when we're in season with the Peacock and Williamson podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let us go and look at our NFC teams. We have 6 teams that are changing coordinators. That doesn't always mean changing philosophies, but it is something notable to look at, and a lot of changes again. 13 overall, we talked about the 7 AFC teams, so if you missed those teams, a lot to talk about there that you can check out. Let's start here. We'll go alphabetical order in the NFC by city name. That means we start in Atlanta, where there's a big change. Arthur Smith is your new head coach. Dave Ragone comes in as the new offensive coordinator. Now, Dirk Cutter had cycled through a second time there, so Ragone and Smith, that combination replaces Cutter. You've had different guys in there for Matt Ryan. The biggest spike came from Kyle Shanahan, of course, before he moved on to the 49ers. And he had a year with Steve Sarkisian. Then early in his career, you had Mike Mularkey. So you've had a lot of offensive coordinators here in the career of Matt Ryan, and yet another change here. So what do we expect from Arthur Smith? Well, good thing he has a blueprint. He was the offensive coordinator of the Titans, so that's how they hired him. And what do? A lot of running, setting it up with play action, throwing downfield naturally in the offense. So one twist that you had to adjust to immediately in this offense is no Julio Jones, and he moved there in the middle of the offseason. So again, adjusting to that, and it makes a lot of sense when you look at the parallels. Calvin Ridley is kind of going to be the A.J. Brown of this offense. I don't think Ridley is necessarily the same type of field stretcher, but Ridley is a very good, strong red zone presence here. Kyle Pitts, we know how much the tight ends were used there in Tennessee. Delanie Walker, DeJonu Smith. So those two guys are going to be extremely busy in this offense, partly because there's not much else in this passing game that you would totally trust. But it does open some possibilities up for Russell Gage here, because the number 2 receiver was able to produce. So you had A.J. Brown and Corey Davis putting up pretty good fantasy numbers there. But it could be a little rough for Olamide Zaccheaus, because they could use more 12 personnel. Would not surprise me here that Hayden Hurst is still on the team. So that's an indicator there that they'll get Hurst on the field, have Hurst and Pitts together. I don't think Hurst is going to be here beyond this season right now. But they also have Lee Smith. It's pretty much a blocking tight end. And Jane Graham has shown a little bit here. But right now the strength of Kyle Pitts as a rookie, number four overall pick, being a special skill set type of receiver, that you would say a lot of things are going to center around him. And then they feel comfortable with the 12 personnel, especially when Olamide Zaccheaus, Christian Blake are your best options as your third wide receiver here. Tajae Sharpe is also around for the Falcons. But yeah, limited receiver depth. They have Hurst there behind Pitts, so that would say more 12 and have those two receivers out. And I would expect most of the time it's Ridley and Gage. But the best news here lies with Mike Davis. They had a nice season there. If you handcuffed him to Christian McCaffrey, you were able to survive and do pretty well here, because Mike Davis, they seamlessly used him in the offense, featured him as a power runner, threw to him the way they would throw to McCaffrey. Now, you didn't get that same high level of production that McCaffrey could give you as a dual threat there with all those 200 yards from scrimmage potential and multiple touchdowns per week, but Mike Davis was pretty solid, and he's bounced around quite a bit in his career, the South Carolina product. He started out there with the 49ers, Seahawks, that kind of exchange there in the NFC West, but really worked himself into a pretty good role. So Mike Davis should be a big part of what they want to do here. And their offensive line, they've invested quite a bit in that offensive line, a lot of high draft picks. They also have now Matt Hennessy at center helping. You have Chris Lidstrom and Caleb McGarry, two first-round picks on the right side, and Jake Matthews. So they've got the double tight end possibility. They've got an offensive line that's veteran, and you get Hennessy in there, like the young kind of complete version there. Left guard's a little weak on this team, but it was already weak before. So, again, they need to reestablish the run, take pressure off Matt Ryan, allow the downfield passing game to develop, not force things there, and protect their defense at the same time. So Arthur Smith, everything points to him operating a run-heavy approach here. And run-heavy to a degree, you still have Matt Ryan and his ability to get the ball downfield. His arm may not be what it was, but yeah, this is good news for Davis. Good news for the principals here, Ridley and Pitts, in the passing game. We'll see how they incorporate Cordarrelle Patterson. They say he's going to be the backup running back, so that's interesting that he's not going to be just a wrinkle player that is the return man and they use him in the hybrid role in offense. He could actually get the looks behind Mike Davis here as an older player here that maybe slow down a little bit, but still is a tough matchup there out of the backfield, however you want to use him. So a little bit more versatility, but Davis certainly can catch passes as well here for the Falcons. So, again, we've kind of lost our way with the running game in Atlanta, and it hasn't been very good complementary football. It's hurt Ryan to a degree. Now Jones is gone, so everything lines up towards being a run-leaning team and everything kind of flowing off that play action bootlegs and getting the ball downfield that way. All right, the next team we'll talk about is the Detroit Lions, and look at them, and they're bringing in a head coach here. So Anthony Lynn comes in for the Lions. And interesting that Anthony Lynn had such a strong influence on the Chargers. We know what he did with Justin Herbert last year. So he wasn't necessarily the main guy calling plays all the time. He had Shane Steichen there as well. So looking at this year, I mean, Anthony Lynn and what you get from him is kind of just a good spin on the West Coast. Remember, he was a running back with Mike Shanahan and the Broncos. It's going back in the day. I mean, but yeah, he was a backup on those teams. So a lot of that is his influence here in how he calls plays with his offense. So you look at it, I mean, it very kind of common style of offense, get the ball out quickly, spread the ball around, all that kind of thing here that you'll get from Anthony Lynn. But again, we have a parallel to draw on here, like we did with Arthur Smith going back to the Titans. What did the Chargers like to do? They threw to the tight end quite a bit with Hunter Henry. They had a clear go-to guy at wide receiver in Keenan Allen, kind of worked around that. Then they had a big receiving back, and that's the biggest thing you're going to take away from this offense, is that Austin Ekeler clearly became a special player because the influence of Anthony Lynn, a former NFL running back. They saw his special receiving skills, and he became a very efficient runner as well. So that is great news for DeAndre Swift and his usage, and T.J. Hockenson. You mentioned how Hunter Henry was a big part of what the Chargers wanted to do. So Hockenson, blocker, receiver, they're going to trust him a lot. DeAndre Swift as well. Now, At wide receiver, someone might emerge here. It's just hard to know who that's going to be. Quintez Cephas has gotten a little bit of buzz. Amon-Ra St. Brown, the rookie, but he's more of a slot player. Rashad Perryman has a chance then to do something. Tyrell Williams, you would say, has some carryover because he was with the Chargers as well, playing off Mike Williams and Keenan Allen at one point. So there could be some favoritism to try to get Tyrell involved as an all-around receiver here, but he's more of a big target, deep threat. Well, I think Perryman has a little bit more well-rounded skill set. So if you're trying to squeeze some value out of someone in the Lions passing game, you definitely start with Hockenson and Swift. They're going to be very much involved. They're already working a lot of routes for Jared Goff and Swift to get that combination down here. So a lot of things to watch with Lions. But again, sometimes it comes out of necessity and the history. And the necessity would say Swift and Hockenson have to be big parts of this offense. Goff needs to be whispered a little bit to get the ball out quickly, spread it around. He's not a guy that you want to hang in and take the lumps. I mean, they don't have a bad offensive line there. They did invest in Penei Sewell with Taylor Decker, so pretty good at the tackles, pretty young interior with Helipuute Vaitai as the veteran anchor at right guard. So they do have a decent offensive line, but again, not a team that you're going to trust this rear back and fire to Williams and Perryman, Cephas, and St. Brown in the slot, Geronimo Allison. So everything screams here, use the tight end sets, get the ball quickly, short to intermediate from Goff to Swift and Hockenson as the go-to guys for Lynn. All right, so there's a look there at two teams that have changed offensive philosophies and coordinators. Going into 2021 from the NFC, we'll still get to four more here before it's done. The Vikings, Eagles, 49ers, and Seahawks are also in a transition game here for this season. But I do have to tell you that we have to celebrate freedom of choice here with Built Bar. Do you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors? There's something for everyone. When you talk to a Built Bar fan, they're definitely passionate about their favorites. I'm one of those fans, and I made it no secret here that I love anything with chocolate and more chocolate. And with all the Built Bars, you're getting bars that are covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, well, you're missing out, and you got to get in on them now. Coconut, Cherry Barcia, Raspberry, Mint Brownie, Double Chocolate, Salted Caramel, Strawberry, Orange, Cookies and Cream, and German Chocolate. Chocolate, and more chocolate, but also some great fruit flavors as well. And you can go a little nutty with the coconut there if you desire. And if you haven't tried all the flavors, you can get a mix box. We'll get two each of nine flavors there. So really, you can zone in on your favorite. Maybe you like multiples, and there's a chance to do that. Or you can just get a variety consistently where you have a different Built Bar every day. Not only are Built Bar flavors the best tasting, these bars are healthy for you too. 17, 18 grams protein, 130 and 180 calories per bar, only 4 to 5 grams sugar, only 4 to 5 grams net carbs. Check it out there. Built Bar is also the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. That's pretty cool with the Olympics going on. So order today and get whatever flavor you like, whether it's raspberry, strawberry, or you want to go German chocolate, salted caramel, they've got you taken care of at BuiltBar.com. Just go to Built.com and use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCK15 at Built.com. We'll be right back here to break down the changes in the offenses of the Vikings and Eagles. All right. So the Falcons and Lions, the new coaching staffs there with Arthur Smith, Dan Campbell, new offensive coordinators. The Vikings, yeah, they have a slight change in offensive coordinator, but really the name's the same in a way because it's the Kubiaks handing the offenses to each other. So much like we saw in Washington, really in Carolina before that, Norv Turner was the man one time in Washington. He became the offensive coordinator in Carolina, and Scott Turner took over. So very similar here. You have Clint Kubiak there behind Gary Kubiak. So we know what we're going to get from these teams. It's pretty simple here. It's going to be a zone-blocking running scheme. You're going to see Dalvin Cook as the centerpiece, which hasn't really changed. You're going to still see that 12 personnel, even though you've lost Kyle Rudolph in the tight end sets. Irv Smith expected to step up a little bit. They're high on Tyler Conklin. They also have a rookie, Zach Davidson. So the depth still exists at tight end. The weakness is still there at wide receiver here for the Vikings. Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen are awesome, but it trickles down there. From there, you have Chad Beebe battling Emir Smith-Marset. He's a rookie, B.C. Johnson. Olabisa Johnson still around there. Dede Westbrook is in there. Blake Prohl, they kind of like in the mix as well, KJ Osborne. So a lot of guys battling for this third receiver spot that you're not really confident about, led by Beebe. So again, this all screams that the Vikings are not going to have too much of a transition here. And again, stick to the running game, the double tight end sets. Cook is the feature back. A lot of passes to Jefferson and Thielen. Kirk Cousins working off play action. Don't mess with what works. He's been the most efficient quarterback of his career in Minnesota. They whispered him because they've depended less on him. And again, look, his job is pretty easy. When Cook is running well, this offensive line is getting a little bit better. They added Christian Darrisaw, the rookie from Virginia Tech, at left tackle, so they should be a little bit better prepared to run the ball. Darrisaw is a very good run blocker. So everything's set up nicely for Kirk Cousins to just settle in there, hand it off to Cook, throw to Jefferson and Thielen. Irv Smith getting a little bit more involved there to break out at tight end. So, yeah, he's in great shape with the support system for sure with Cousins, and that can help Cousins' numbers quite a bit. But, again, in going Kubiak to Kubiak, I think they'll try to maybe heighten it, maybe have a few more innovative wrinkles to this scheme. But other than that, it's going to be what you see is what you get, and you've gotten before here with, again, zone blocking, open things up for Cook. He fits very well in that system. They got a lot of athletic offensive linemen. And mainly two receivers and one tight end getting involved in the passing game. All right, let's go to the Eagles. And a similar situation to the Falcons, a new head coach. You do also have a new offensive coordinator there. And Shane Steichen, remember, we talked about him. So Anthony Lynn goes to Detroit. His former OC with the Chargers goes to Philadelphia. But clearly, Nick Sirianni, the offensive-minded coach they hired from the Colts, he said he's calling the plays here. So Steichen, more of a consultant to help things go in here. But we know what we're going to get there from this combination. You're going to get a centerpiece of the running game, Miles Sanders. This is a good influence for him. That they'll give him a shot to be a complete backward. I think Doug Peterson forgot about Sanders and didn't trust Sanders enough. But look, I know they drafted Kenneth Gainwell out of Memphis. Boston Scott's a pretty good change of pace back. They added Kerryon Johnson. But they're going to give every opportunity to Miles Sanders to really step up and be a complete back in this offense. So we know they did that with Jonathan Taylor last year in his rookie year for Sirianni. So Sanders does have a special all-around skill set. They'd like Scott to be maybe a complementary player in certain downs. And then Gainwell and Johnson at this point, I would give Gainwell the edge to be kind of the swing backup to relieve Sanders in multiple roles. They can handle the early down as well as the pass catching stuff where Scott is a little bit limited there to maybe third down duty. So, again, Sanders going to be treated a lot like Jonathan Taylor, I think, in a good situation for him to rebound. It's pretty crowded here, but, again, different philosophy. They're not going to forget about him. I don't think you necessarily want to see Sirianni have a full-blown committee. I get last year Nyheim Hines was there, but Boston Scott was kind of that role, and we know that Jonathan Taylor produced at a very high level, and they kind of faded with Jordan Wilkins. I think they'll do the same here with Marlon Mack there, that Indianapolis offense they left behind with Frank Reich. But Sirianni knows a lot of those concepts, and Sanders in the running game is going to be a big part of what they do, especially because they have Jalen Hurts, running quarterback here. So they will adjust to Hurts' ability to scramble and make some plays on his own. But Sanders being a big part of what they do is only going to help Hurts. We know running teams help their running quarterbacks a lot because it adds another dimension and it confuses teams and how to defend and all that. So, again, every bit of reason says get Sanders more involved as a complete back here to help Hurts. And in general, to be a more effective running team. Remember, Brandon Brooks is coming back at right guard between Jason Kelce and Lane Johnson. Lane Johnson's had a share of injuries. You have Andre Dillard as well with some special abilities as an athletic first-round left tackle. So this offensive line should return to some strength, and that means getting down dirty, running the ball with Brooks and Kelce being the anchors very often here. That's going to help Sanders and his role as well. Now, we also know the Colts incorporated a lot of two tight end sets at times, and Jack Doyle, Molly Cox, Trey Burton, who was a former Eagle. So now you figure you're going to see quite a bit of Dallas Goedert and Zach Ertz together on the field, but Goddard maybe more of the receiving role while Ertz kind of fades a little bit here. And this offense, Goddard is the better all-round tight end at this point, so he'll probably get the more looks and the consistent usage here if they toggle between 11 personnel with three wide receivers and two tight end sets. Goddard is most often going to be the one tight end out there on the field to complement three wide receivers, and Ertz might be more dependent on the 12 personnel. At the 11 personnel, I think you have Devonta Smith and Jalen Reagor. Devonta being more of the X all around here that you saw with T.Y. Hilton. Jalen Reagor is more the slot complement here that you would look at. So Smith and Reagor are givens. I think everything else is a little bit in flux here. Reagor has some inside-outside versatility. Greg Ward could see time in the slot and allow Reagor to kind of fluctuate there. But John Hightower, Quez Watkins, J.J. Ortega-Whiteside, Travis Fulgham in the lead here to be that third receiver. So they're just going to toggle where are their strengths here. Is it going to be Fulgham? Is it going to be Ertz? And they'll go in that direction. But however you look at it, Smith and Reagor are going to be key parts of what they do. Reagor as more of the field stretcher in this offense. Smith more of that all-around go-to guy. So definitely some nice upside for Sanders and Smith and Goddard in this particular offense by Sirianni. He's one of the bright minds here. He takes advantage of what he has and centers things on the running game to open things up in the passing game. So I think between Steichen, who did wonders there with Herbert last year, Hurts is in good hands. So I have a lot of expectations and excitement from this Eagles new look offense in 2021. All right, so that took care of four teams here that had offense coordinator changes in the NFC. We'll get to two more in our final segment. They're the NFC West rivals, the 49ers and Seahawks. But before we do that, I got to tell you about Bet Online, or otherwise known as the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season is in full swing, and you can track all the action at BetOnline here for the second half. It's well past the All-Star break, getting into the stretch run. We know the trade deadline is also coming up. Get all the latest news, odds, and information for your sporting needs, including MLB. We're waiting on NBA and NHL until next season, but we can look ahead to the NFL futures and props here, and of course, all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline, your laptop or mobile device, and check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance to get in the game as teams surge toward the MLB postseason and teams in the NFL prep for some preseason action as well that you can get in on. Head to the website or use a mobile device to sign up today and receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline. All you have to do is enter the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. We'll be right back here to close the show, looking at what's up with the 49ers and Seahawks and their offenses and their changes for this season. All right, let us continue this show here. And the 49ers, another team like the Vikings that have a change here, but more sticking with what they've done here. You have Mike McDaniel stepping up into a bigger role as Mike LaFleur went to the Jets. We broke that offense down. So the Shanahan style of offense is going to New York with Robert Saleh, the defensive coordinator. So what you get is Mike McDaniel, and a lot of concepts here are going to be oriented to kind of spread the ball around horizontally and vertically in this offense and still stick to the bread and butter, which is going to be running and zone blocking and all that. So Trey Sermon has an opportunity here to really get a key role and maybe overtake Raheem Mostert. Hasn't been on the field much. He's been an extended role player that's done really well in a feature role, but I think not necessarily the pure dedicated runner. You can't totally trust him. Jeff Wilson also should enjoy some of the concepts here in running game. So be careful about drafting Sermon. Look, we love Sermon. He's the new guy that came in. We saw him for Ohio State close his career pretty well, really boosted his stock here. But Wilson, Mostert aren't chopped liver. They like what they did last year. They just can't stay on the field. So I think that's the biggest reason where you would pursue Sermon. But I think this running game is suited for all three. I think they like having different styles of runners in the same system. So keep that in mind here. But that's always going to be the core of what they do. Now, there's some excitement of how they could spread the ball around with Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk. Now, these two guys are interchangeable. I think you'll see McDaniel and Shanahan use them in that sense, line them up in different areas, know that they can make some damage happen after the catch. So a lot of Samuel and Ayuk should be very much involved as similar targets here. George Kittle will remain a big part of what they want to do, including the field stretching aspects here. But the 49ers pretty much have an open slate with their possibilities here. That's how good their offense is, especially when you have a great offensive line anchored by Trent Williams and Mike McGlinchey at the tackles. They're pretty good veterans on the inside, so you can block well. You have Kyle Juszczyk, a kind of Swiss Army knife there with his blocking and other abilities here. So basically the 49ers, versatility, misdirection, diversity, the 49ers have all of it in their offense. And I think another thing with Mike McDaniel, we're going to see definitely a potential big offensive change if they transition from Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance at some point during the season. You'll see them kind of adjusting to what Lance can do as a runner, incorporating that offense seamlessly. So a little bit of a basketball-style approach here. You'll see Garoppolo is more of a distributor, where I think that's maybe a good way to look at it. Lance can actually be the scorer and shoot and do those things there coming out of the offense and get those big plays as well. So they'll be ready to adjust. That's what the 49ers do here. But again, you feel very confident about this brain trust McDaniel now in a key role with Shanahan, that they're going to get the ball in the hands of Samuel, Ayuk, and Kittle, playing off that running game well. And if Lance gets in there, they will not ignore his ability to run and find ways to incorporate that in naturally into the offense, but also not trying to rein him in that capacity either. All right, our final team that we'll look at, and this is a very intriguing one to me, it's the Seattle Seahawks. They did go through a fundamental change here. They were tired of Daryl Bevel, then Brian Schottenheimer. They've been very conservative, running approach here, calculated shots downfield. What you'll see from Russell Wilson is a happier Russell Wilson. I think he'll be kind of unleashed a little bit and trusting. Maybe you won't see the second half slump that we've seen from Wilson in his career. You also have Chris Carson and a good baseline for the running game. And Shane Waldron, the new offensive coordinator, comes from the Rams and Sean McVay. So they're not going to forget about the running game, but he was the passing game guy for McVay. So that's going to help Wilson a lot. I mean, they were very specific about the way they wanted to play Schottenheimer to appease Wilson here. I think Waldron was a great hire, especially knowing what he's done using the 11 personnel. So I think you'll see more of a third receiver involved. Right now, you'd say Freddie Swain might have the edge over Dwayne Eskridge, but a little bit of help for DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. Remember, you could easily take one of those out of the game. It was kind of frustrating. So if you had Metcalf or Lockett, you didn't know how the defense was going to counteract here, and one of them could be taken away, either Lockett working primarily in the slot or Metcalf on the outside. So they need a third receiver just to keep defense a little bit more honest. So I think you'll see a little bit more 11 personnel here that the Seahawks actually utilize, where it's just not the Metcalf and Lockett show. That doesn't mean their fantasy value is suddenly going to drop. I think, again, it'll keep them from being kind of targeted and taken out of the game if they spread the field a little bit and give Lockett and Metcalf some alignment versatility here in this offense. So I think it'll be less predictable. Remember, it was just pretty much Wilson handing off, and then if they didn't do that, try to get the big ball to DK Metcalf or the intermediate ball to Tyler Lockett, make some of that work here. And I think defense has kind of figured it out. So they need to keep them on their toes, incorporate the third receiver, sometimes get in those two tight ends. And now you have Gerald Everett to that degree. And remember, in Los Angeles, you had Gerald Everett and Tyler Higbee. They were kind of interchangeable as receivers. They weren't big parts of the offense, but they can mix them in at the right times. And I think you'll see that should Disley stay healthy along with Everett. Everett, I think, is still going to be the main guy. He knows Shane Waldron's offense very well, obviously, being with the Rams and coming over. So that helps a lot. So they do want to use Everett and get the tight end more involved. Again, I think that's been a missing element, just having that third receiver get involved, where it's just not power running, throw to two guys. Now you'll see the third guy get involved in Swain, maybe Eskridge at some point, Everett there, Disley. So a little bit more spread the ball around is what the Seahawks needed to kind of help them in the offense, and I think you'll definitely see that this year with Waldron, and I think you'll see a positive effect where Wilson is just not going to be kind of slumping, and as teams kind of figure things out, I think you'll see Wilson, the running incorporated. I think you'll see everything kind of adjusted to well a little bit better, where Schottenheimer was pretty rigid the way that he approached it in pound the ball and throw it downfield. You'll see a lot of nuance, short to intermediate game, different uses of personnel here with Waldron, and in the end, that's going to help your quarterback because you put out different types of players. You don't know where he's thrown it. He can pick his spots here with the open guy. He can also find things open up a little bit if they open up the field and these other guys are effective. Wilson can also be more effective as a runner here in 2021. All right, so yeah, we're excited about some of these changes for sure. I think you just have to know what philosophy is installed for these teams to kind of understand what could improve here. So Wilson, Metcalf, Lockett, Everett having a bump up as well in Seattle, can see that happening. I think Waldron was a great hire, and you'll see the effects there all around in this offense. All right, so we've looked at all the six NFC offensive changes of note. I do also have to remind you about Locked On Bets. Betting on the NFL doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's Lock of the Day. Follow the Locked On Day podcast as well as Locked On Bets, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcast. So Locked On Today, Locked On Bets, Locked On NFL, and of course, Peacock and Williamson, other shows you must check out to get you through training camp, as well as all our great team-by-team podcasts here on the network. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Have a great day. See you tomorrow as we continue our look at training camp around the NFL from a fantasy football perspective.